Brothers and sisters and friends throughout the world, we meet in this special meeting to pay tributes to President Russell M. Nelson, who died at his home on Saturday, September 27th, 2025. We also join our brothers and sisters and others throughout the world who grieve at his passing. His funeral will be held in the conference center on Tuesday, October 7th, after General Conference. We all know President Nelson's love for beautiful music. Our tribute would not be complete without music from the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. The choir, under the direction of Mac Wilberg and Ryan Murphy, with Richard Elliott, Andrew Unsworth, and Brian Mathias at the organ, will open this meeting by singing, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." The invocation will be offered by Elder Arnulfo Valenzuela of the Presidency of the 70.
Thank you. Our beloved Heavenly Father, we come to Thee with gratitude as we gather to honor Thy prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. We thank Thee, Father, for his devoted service, for his prophetic counsel, and for his unwavering witness of Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask Thy Spirit to be with us during this tribute, that our hearts may be lifted, our faith strengthened, and our commitment to follow Thee, Father, may be increased too, and to keep our covenants. Please bless President Nelson's family with comfort and peace, and bless us all, that we may honor his memory by living as true disciples of Christ. We offer this prayer in the sacred name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It will now be my privilege to address you. Following my remarks, we will be pleased to hear tributes from President Susan H. Porter, Primary General President, followed by Bishop Gerald Cossey, Presiding Bishop of the Church, and Elder Carl B. Cook, Senior President of the 70. The choir will then sing, "I Feel My Savior's Love." We will then hear from Elders Jeffrey R. Holland and Henry B. Eyring of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. I think of President Nelson as a servant of our loving Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and as a prophet of love in preaching the restored gospel and in reaching out to all of God's children. The last time President Eyring and I saw President Nelson was 2 days before he died. We expressed our love for him, our dearest friend, and gave him assurances that we were carrying on with the decisions he had made. He smiled and tried hard to communicate with us. Words were difficult, but his efforts and his smile conveyed the love he felt for us as his counselors and for each of you in this great work. President Nelson showed us the meaning of love in a world with billions of people in many nations. He caused our church humanitarian efforts to reach out beyond our membership to include many nations with whom our earlier relationships have been frayed or non-existent. He preached the gospel of love, which is paramount in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What greater tribute could I give my dear friend than to share some of his teachings about love? For example, he reminded us that, quote, "Before his death, the Savior commanded his 12 apostles to love one another as he had loved them. But then he added, 'By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.'" End of quote. The Savior's message is clear. True disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers. Russell Nelson was a peacemaker. He affirmed, quote, "The gospel net is the largest net in the world. God has invited all to come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. There is room for everyone." President Nelson was our model in loving one another. He loved us, and we felt it. His love strengthened us. When we fell short, such as in failing to love our enemies or difficult neighbors, President Nelson's confidence in us gave us the determination and strength to try to follow the example of Jesus Christ. I continue to quote from our president and prophet of love, "Whether you are a believer or not, Jesus Christ taught an inspired model that leads to peace and harmony, to love God first and then to love our neighbor as ourselves." End of quote. He showed us the way to achieve racial harmony. Quote, "We first linked arms as friends and have now locked arms in love and brotherhood. The people of America can do the same." He knew that, quote, "Our Heavenly Father cares deeply for every one of His children. That's because we are His children. Differences in nationality, color, and culture do not change the fact that we are truly sons and daughters of God." Our dear President extended that principle also to those who feel they have separated themselves from Jesus Christ. He taught us that our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ have great love for those who are struggling. He assured that there is always a way back. Jesus Christ and His gospel is the way. You have not committed any sin so serious that you are beyond the reach of the Savior's love and atoning grace. He gave you and me an unlimited capacity to love. Ask for the Lord's help to love those He needs you to love, including those for whom it is not always easy to feel affection. End of quote. I continue my quotation of President Nelson's inspired teachings to the world about love in his recent op-ed in Time magazine. "Each of us has inherent worth and dignity. I believe we are all children of a loving Heavenly Father. Love your neighbor and treat them with compassion and respect. A century of experience has taught me this with certainty. Anger never persuades, hostility never heals, and contention never leads to lasting solutions. My faith teaches me," he continued, "that over 2 millennia ago, Jesus Christ preached these same laws of happiness, to love God and to love our neighbor." To an audience of our members, he testified that "the greatest joy you will ever experience is when you are consumed with love for God and for all of His children." Finally, to another audience of our members, he left this expression of love and blessing: "May I just leave my expression of love for you all, and in behalf of all general authorities and my colleagues in the First Presidency, I bless you to love your families and friends, and most of all, love God with all your might, mind, and strength. I pray that we will always remember and be influenced by the great teachings and example of love from our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
I am deeply humbled to have the opportunity to honor the life and service of President Russell M. Nelson. I, like you, have been transformed as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ as I have strived to act on His prophetic invitations. Today, I would like to share experiences with you that I've had with President Nelson when I have felt the joy of His personal ministering in the Savior's name. I first met then Elder Nelson 30 years ago when my husband Bruce and I were invited to meet with him in his office. We were nervous, but he greeted us with quiet dignity and was kind and unhurried. As we conversed, we could feel him looking deeply into our eyes and listening intently, not with judgment, but with love. It was only later we learned that his beloved daughter, Emily, had passed away from cancer just days before our meeting. Even though his soul was sorrowing, he had ministered to us with the Savior's loving kindness. 2 months later, President Gordon B. Hinckley called Bruce as a general authority with the assignment to move our young family to Germany. However, less than 2 years after moving to Frankfurt, Bruce's kidneys failed, and we returned to Salt Lake City for medical care. Remarkably, Elder Nelson was there to meet us at the airport. Even through the grief of suddenly losing his beloved wife, Dansel, and later his dear daughter, Wendy, Elder Nelson continued to answer the call of the Savior, "I was sick, and ye visited me." He visited many, including Bruce, who underwent multiple surgeries over a decade. Elder Nelson's visits followed a remarkable pattern. He would enter very quietly, tenderly hold Bruce's hand, and if he was awake, he would speak softly and gently to him. He always took time to encourage and uplift me. Years later, after a successful kidney transplant, Bruce received an assignment to serve in the area presidency in Moscow, Russia. In May of 2015, we were overjoyed to welcome Elder and Sister Nelson to Moscow. We traveled with them and President and Sister Brinton 5,000 kilometers east to Irkutsk, near Lake Baikal. Members traveled long distances on buses, as this would be the first visit of an apostle to this beautiful area. At the close of the meeting, Elder Nelson offered an apostolic blessing, including, after a pause, a sacred blessing of health and healing. As Elder Nelson came off the stand, he reached out and shook hands with one person among the hundreds gathered, a gentleman seated in the first row. Unknown to Elder Nelson, this man had prayed fervently to receive a blessing of healing, as he had suffered with poor health for many years. His joyful, tear-stained face is still etched in my memory. I had witnessed the love of God offered to this precious soul in far-off Siberia by the apostolic blessing and outstretched hand of an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In December of 2016, Bruce fell ill and 4 weeks later slipped through the veil. At his funeral, President Nelson testified of the Savior and the reality of ministering through the veil. 26 years after our first meeting, I was unexpectedly invited to come to President Nelson's office, where he extended the call to serve as primary general president. Since that call, I have met members all over the world who have felt President Nelson's love through his gentleness, meekness, and love unfeigned. I join with you in thanking my Heavenly Father for the blessing of being taught and loved by President Russell M. Nelson. I close with his loving invitation. Come unto the Savior. Receive the blessings of the Holy Temple. Have enduring joy and qualify for eternal life. I bear my witness of the reality of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, it is a great honor to address you, members and friends from all over the world, as we pay tribute to our beloved prophet, President Russell M. Nelson. With deep love and heartfelt sympathy, I extend condolences to his wife, Sister Wendy W. Nelson, and to their beautiful family. The Presiding Bishopric reports directly to the First Presidency. For my counselors and me, it has been a sacred privilege to serve under President Nelson's leadership. Over the past 7.5 years, meeting with him weekly, we witnessed firsthand a prophet of God at work, learning from his inspired words, remarkable leadership, and Christ-like example. Many have asked me what it was like to work with him, what kind of man he truly was. My answer is simple. President Russell M. Nelson was exactly the man you believed him to be. He embodied unwavering faith, pure love, and profound compassion for all of God's children. His legendary gift for remembering names reflected not only a sharp mind, but also a true shepherd's heart. He listened to everyone intently, his eyes filled with kindness and giving his complete attention to every word. In those touching moments, he exemplified the Lord's teaching that the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. We watched President Nelson lead the church through many challenges, never yielding to discouragement, always pressing forward with trust in the Lord. He looked beyond the present moment, considering the long-term impact of each decision. How timely was his counsel to transform our home into a sanctuary of faith, just months before the pandemic began? And how needed was his call a few years later for us to become peacemakers in the world yearning for peace? Truly, he was one of whom Ammon declared, "A seer is a revelator and a prophet also." His love for people was matched by his extraordinary knowledge of the world, its cultures, traditions, and languages. Equally remarkable was his gift with words. He had a rare ability to express eternal truths with such clarity and simplicity that people from every walk of life could understand. We will long remember his inspired invitations to walk the covenant path, to minister in a higher, holier way, and to think celestial. We often felt the Spirit of the Lord accompany him. On one occasion, we presented recommendations on a sensitive matter to the First Presidency. True to his pattern, President Nelson invited every person in the room to share their thoughts. When the time came to decide, he spoke with love and gentleness. The Spirit filled the room. Though his decision differed from our proposal, its truthfulness impressed itself upon my mind with unmistakable clarity as the will of God. President Nelson was also a devoted family man. His love for family was evident when he presided over our state conference in Paris, France, in 2005. At the time, I was serving as state president and went to meet him at the airport late in the evening after several flight delays. Seeing his fatigue, I suggested canceling the dinner at our home. With a warm smile, he assured me that dinner with our family was the most important meeting of the conference, and he had no intention of missing it. That evening became unforgettable. He connected tenderly with each of our children and, learning of our love for music, proposed a family concert. After a few of us played, he concluded with a moving performance of Chopin's Prelude in C minor, one of his favorites. As we stepped outside, he turned to me with piercing eyes and bore a powerful testimony of the blessing of family. Then, with deep conviction, he reminded me that caring for my beautiful wife was my most important priesthood duty. I will never forget that inspired counsel. My dear brothers and sisters, serving under President Russell M. Nelson's inspired leadership has been one of the greatest privileges of my life. With all my heart, I testify that he was and is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and undeniably a prophet of God. I bear witness of Jesus Christ and of the restoration of his church, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
As the 70, we have a deep love for President Russell M. Nelson. He taught and bore witness of many profound truths which blessed all of our lives. But perhaps one of the greatest gifts was his powerful Christ-like example. President Nelson was always thinking of others and was ever mindful of the one. As President Nelson approached the April 2018 General Conference as our new prophet, he invited General Authority 70s and general officers of the church and our spouses to come to his office in the church administration building to greet him and his wife, Sister Wendy Nelson. It was a very special invitation. As my wife and I approached them in line, we heard President Nelson address them, each person, by their first name. When it was our turn, he said, "Hello, Carl B." That is what he called me. "And hello, Lynette." President and Sister Nelson welcomed us warmly and invited us to come into his office and take a look around. We felt so honored. The amazing thing to me is there were well over 200 people who had a similar experience that day. He thanked each of us for our service. It was so personal, so warm, and expressed with so much love. President Nelson was genuinely interested in everyone in a very Christ-like way, and we all felt it. I was once on a plane with him, flying to an assignment. I was mindful of his busy schedule and how valuable his time was, so I decided that rather than asking him questions or engaging him in conversation, I would simply spend the flight reading. After a minute, President Nelson asked, "What are you reading?" I replied, "The Liahona." He nodded his head and I continued reading. Then he said, "What article are you reading?" And then, "What are you learning?" I finally realized that he sincerely wanted to talk with me. He was interested. He cared about me. And we ended up talking the entire plane ride. And then at the meeting we attended, I was sitting next to him on the stand. During the prelude music, he glanced over at my hand. He must have noticed my one black fingernail that I had smashed during a work project. He gently reached over and touched the nail and smiled. Nothing was said. It was simply a sign of compassion and love. Throughout the day, I noticed that all of his interactions with others reflected the same genuine Christ-like love and concern for each person. As we know, President Nelson was conversant in many languages, but as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, his primary language was love, and that love is deeply rooted in his soul. Our Savior truly loved and served others. He literally washed the feet of his disciples as an act of kindness, service, and love. Then he invited them to do the same. He said, "If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." And then he taught, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I know that President Russell M. Nelson was a true and faithful disciple of Jesus Christ because he loved us. He served us. and he invited us to treat others with love and kindness. 1 year ago, he said, "I have learned that the most crucial question we each must answer is this: to whom or to what will I give my life? My decision to follow Jesus Christ is the most important decision I have ever made." The effect that decision had on his life is clearly evident in the way President Nelson lived. We love him, and we will always cherish him. As 70s, it has been a blessing to carry his inspired messages throughout the world. I testify that Russell M. Nelson was God's prophet. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles have had a marvelous opportunity to know Russell M. Nelson as our president before he became the president of the church. From that very close vantage point, we certainly understood Emerson's saying that nature magically suits the man to his fortune by making these the fruit of his character. Russell Nelson had great fortunes in Emerson's 19th century meaning of that word. His singular excellence in the field of thoracic surgery and medical research, his lifelong leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his blessings of marriage, family, and friends who sustained him to the end. And we too believe these came to President Nelson as the inevitable fruit of his personal Christ-like character. We felt close enough to him to measure his integrity by the words that he spoke. The very pupil of his eye, or the behavior he demonstrated when none but God could hear or see him. By these and any other measurement of whom he really was, Russell Nelson gets an unblemished straight A. The grade he got in every course he ever took, academic, scientific, musical, or moral. The most important manifestation of his character was the preeminence of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his unfailing devotion to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To be called by God to the most influential role in that church, one that only 16 other men have held in this dispensation, is evidence enough of his faith, his humility, and his love for everything celestial. Another facet of Russell Nelson's character was his remarkable talent as head of a family, husband to two remarkable and completely supportive women, one deceased, and father of 10 incredibly gifted children, two deceased. Russell had an immense amount of pressure on him as he tried to keep a strong covenantal relationship with each of them. It cannot be overstated that his family meant everything to him. Dansel Nelson sang in the Tabernacle Choir for 20 years. These were years of Russell's busiest time in his medical profession and a growing immersion in church leadership. Nevertheless, every Sunday morning for 2 decades, he prepared 9 beautiful girls for church, checking on dresses pressed, combing the hair of the young ones, and in a family of 10 children, there were always young ones, and refereeing competition for use of the bathroom. True to the Russell Nelson character, they never, well, almost never arrived late or failed to smile and sing and pray or miss an opportunity to make a ministering visit to a neighbor in need. These two, only two, of so many unblemished facets of Russell Nelson's life made him something of a living temple. And appropriately so, this reference to temples, dedicated or proposed or personal, they will be synonymous with the name of Russell Nelson for as long as there is a history in this church. He has loved temples. He has built them. He has dedicated and attended them. He has encouraged all to hold a temple recommend and to use them. My only disappointment at this bittersweet time of loss and love is that Russell Nelson was not able to rededicate his beloved Salt Lake Temple. But he'll have a much better view of it all now. And those in charge better do it correctly. I'm honored to have known President Russell M. Nelson, to have loved him, and to have felt his love for me. I include in that exchange of love his wonderful wife, Wendy Watson Nelson. And I pay tribute to President Nelson's life, to the wonderful accomplishments that are the fruits of his character, which will be evident in his magnificent legacy left to this church to which he gave his life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I am grateful to have been invited to participate in this meeting to pay tribute to President Russell M. Nelson, a prophet of God. Faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints across the world are paying tribute to him every day and have been for years. In our family, we have prayed for him daily and for his family. I believe that is true across the world. In every church meeting I have attended, in recent years at least, one speaker has quoted President Nelson, sometimes more than once in the same talk. They do it because the Holy Ghost has confirmed to them that the words spoken by President Russell M. Nelson were from God and were true. They knew that he was a living prophet of God. President Nelson taught, a prophet is one called of God to speak for him. Throughout history, prophets have testified of Jesus Christ and have taught his gospel. Revelation is communicated from God through prophets to his children. President Nelson taught, for the entire church, revelation comes from God to his prophets and apostles. Sacred scriptures are priceless records of revelation to previous prophets. For each worthy member, revelation comes through the Holy Ghost for one's personal guidance and blessing. End of quote. I learned this truth when I was a little boy. I was seated in a wooden chair in a rented hotel room in New Brunswick, New Jersey. It was a district conference. I looked up at the stand where a bright light from a window shone on the visiting speaker, who I learned later became the prophet of God. He was tall and looked old to me. He was talking about the prophet Joseph Smith. I had a powerful assurance come to my heart that he was a prophet of God. The same feeling came again years later when my parents moved me to Utah. I was visiting Temple Square when I saw a large group of well-dressed men standing around a man who towered above them. The man was in a white suit and had flowing hair. His presence made an impression on me, even in my youth. That man was President David O. McKay, a prophet of God. I'll never forget his teachings on love. Years later, I felt that same warm assurance. I knew that President Russell M. Nelson had been called of God as a prophet to guide and counsel us. I observed President Nelson's love for all of God's children, of which has been spoken today much. He taught of our Savior and Redeemer, encouraging all to emulate him. I admired in President Nelson an inspired capacity to remember names and faces of people he had met. With this gift, he had the ability to make each person feel loved. When a group of church officials or staff members came into First Presidency meetings to make a presentation, he called all of them by name. When the meeting ended, as they were leaving, he would thank each of them again, calling them by name. As we honor President Nelson today, we do it best remembering his sweet counsel on revelation in the church. Countless times he would come from his president's office to begin the meeting of the First Presidency. He would at times hold out a sheet of paper and say, "I woke up at 2:30 this morning, got up and wrote this down. Would you read it? What do you think about it?" I never remember an instance of our making any suggestion. I felt again the quiet and clear assurance that the Lord leads his church by revelation to his prophets. I pray, I close with my prayer that we will follow President Nelson's prophetic counsel to trust in the Lord's revealed guidance to his servants, and that we will remember his example of love. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. We wish to thank everyone who has participated today, including the speakers and the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. We likewise express appreciation to the production and facilities personnel and to all those who have worked to make this special program possible. and we express our appreciation to you for your presence. The choir will now close this meeting by singing "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." The benediction will then be offered by Sister Amy A. Wright, First Counselor in the Primary General Presidency.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee with much gratitude and joy in our hearts for this sacred honor and privilege of celebrating the exemplary life of one of Thee and Thy Son's noble prophets, President Russell M. Nelson, a man whose entire life is defined by his extraordinary faith, compassion, integrity, diligence, and Christ-like love. We pray at this time, Heavenly Father, for an added portion of Thy Spirit to rest upon His precious family, and most specifically, His beloved wife, Wendy. Oh, how we love her. We express our deepest gratitude for her unfailing devotion, for her valiant and loving discipleship, and how she stood with President Nelson and supported him in his high and holy prophetic calling, a calling which he was foreordained to fulfill. We pray at this time as Thy sons and daughters that we may always heed the words of prophets, seers, and revelators, that we may be more diligent in following Thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that through Him we may become a holier people. This we pray in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.